Why don't you go someplace beautiful where you can relax and be pampered? You deserve it. Forget the holiday. Isn't there someplace special you want to go?
I know this perfect little vacation spot. In fact, it falls within the coordinates of this sector. The place is called Risa. And believe me, Captain, it is a paradise. Warm tropical breezes, exotic foods, nothing to do but sit around all day, enjoy the quiet, and then the women.
Of course. Risa has a reputation of being a most peaceful planet.
Risa is climate control for optimum tourist comfort.
Welcome to Risa. All that is ours is yours.
Have I mentioned how imaginative the Risaean women are, sir?
The Horgon is the Risaean symbol of sexuality. To own one is to call forth its powers. To display it is to announce you are seeking Jamaharon. Do you seek Jamaharon?
Every pore in my body tingles with contentment.
Why continue to search for perfection once you have found it?
Welcome to Risa.
Commander Riker to Enterprise. I have a terrible problem down here on Risa.
Give me that.
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 13. I am Dan Hammond.
And I am Rogue Schindler.
On today's episode, we have detailed coverage of the Risa regional, decks that were played, notable events that transpired, and the final result.
The razor they have appointed at you isn't set on stern, Section 31.
So I know you were agonizing over what exactly you were going to do in the small amount of time you had left to build the deck last week. What did you end up going with?
I made the decision not to play the next-gen deck that had actually been doing really well in the last couple of tournaments that it's seen action in. I went with Starfleet, Evil Starfleet, just because I hadn't played it yet in our season. And the last time I did play it, I felt like it didn't do quite as well as I thought it could, which is ironic, in fact, that I didn't do very well at all this time either. But I actually had a lot of close games. I also got to use a pair of cards that were signed, a Maximilian Forest and an Evil Archer that were autographed. So that was awesome.
Well, after all the gloom and doom that I preached last week, no one ended up in playing any of the cards I thought they were going to play, except for me. So I am I'm a self-fulfilling prophecy. Apparently, I decided, since I have been accused on more than one occasion of not playing to win, which I don't know why that's such a horrible thing. I'd rather have fun, but rather than just goofing off and doing weird things and not having a terribly good record, I decided to throw in all the shenanigans that I could possibly think of, all the really horrible broken cards that I think should never have made the game. Sort of trying to prove a point, I don't know whether to myself or to everyone else, that even if I did win, it would not be a whole lot of fun for me or my opponent. It didn't do as well. It did pretty well. And I didn't have as little fun as I thought I would have doing it. But it was still, I'm pretty sure, not a lot of fun for my opponents. Using Altavar McCoy to bounce cards out from under when they finally did develop build up enough dilemmas under there to attempt with essentially zero, you know, five. There's five under, attempt with five. And I would have a couple of machinates out by then. I had a couple of different tricks to do that even without machinations. Not easily avoided, I think, has been a hugely underrated card, at least in our community. I haven't really seen anybody use it frequently, and both Matt and myself were using it to download an event or download a dilemma to put it on top of your dilemma pile. And I was basically using that as an additional machinations, either to download a zero cost dilemma, put it on top, and then use the vacation from the continuum to draw more than zero, and then I'd have a zero cost to play, or taking something off of storage compartment, adding it to my hand of zero, and then using unexpected difficulties to redraw however many cards in my hand, which would be one.
Well, I think what's been happening is the more and more dilemma manipulation that enters into the card pool, just the more ways you have of blocking your opponent. I mean, I don't think the I think the balance has shifted from, you know, affiliations that have a lot of cheater stuff are still getting. That used to be the way to go, but now from what I've seen here is it's the decks that have the more manipulation of what they can throw at their opponent. Now, I guess the exception would be Johnny's deck. He was playing Borg. He took first place. He went undefeated. In fact, his after six games, his opponent scored a total of 90 points.
Wow.
Yeah. I'll take credit for 60 of those. But I saw a machinations, maybe, but his big fat Borg deck was just really, really quick. He dropped a... Let's see. He was playing with Historical Research, and when he didn't go first, he downloaded fourth and grabbed two Quintessences. And every turn, he got a ship and a drone or a pair of drones. He played a 209 and destroyed my events. You know, every turn, he'd just blow up another one. It was better than Brunt. It was fantastic. And the cards in his discard pile fueled the queen swapping. It fueled back to basics. It was quite a piece of work. I was very impressed.
I agree. We were talking about that after the tournament, and he seemed to be the only one who really, successfully went on the offensive, taking the game on, going out and trying to solve his missions rather than preventing their opponent from solving his. And his advice right off the bat when we were all talking was that rather than dragging them down to your level so you're both going slow and hopefully you'll beat them, is to just continue going fast and trying to blow through their speed bumps.
Yeah, I'm looking at his deck list. He wasn't even playing with any unexpected difficulties. It was just three machinations. That was the only dilemma and manipulation, which was, I got to say, a switch from what I've seen him play in the past.
An interesting shift. And it won him the tournament.
In second place was Thomas Weinberg. He was playing a Maquis deck, pretty much straightforward, mess with your opponent and solve some missions. He was my first round opponent, and I quickly went down 100-0. but it was relatively early in the morning, and I made an awful lot of mistakes.
Well, Thomas is a really solid player, and he definitely knows his stuff when it comes to any kind of card manipulation, especially with the tricks that the Maquis have. He's the only person I didn't play all day, and I can't say I'm disappointed that I didn't.
In third place, after Thomas V, was Thomas Kimura. He was playing a Founders Homeworld Defiant Dilemma Shuffle deck.
Yep.
Quite effective. He's one of the few people around here who play a very slim 35-card deck just about every time. Just enough to get things done really fast. A couple of cheater interrupts and just go all out.
He is definitely a purveyor of the slim cheater deck, just trying to speed through things before you get set up. It did cost him when we played. He got a really easy mission, but his last mission, he just couldn't get finished because of a combination of I had the TOS Cisco. So every time he tried to cancel one of my things, I was able to bounce him back to hand to cancel the interrupt. Anytime he tried a cheater card to get past a dilemma, I was able to bounce Cisco back to hand to cancel the interrupt. And he spent about five or six turns beating his head against this one mission where I just played the same dilemma over and over again. It ended up costing him all. He had to sit there and draw until he had all three of his cheater cards out. He needed two, and I could cancel one, and that was how he finally got past that second mission. And then I was able to hold him off in the third.
Fourth place, we had you.
Yeah. I was quite happy just with my record in general, just with how the day went. One full win, two modified wins. Johnny just completely shut me down. So 3-2-1. Not bad, considering I think I was 1-5 last year.
All right, in fifth place was Whitney playing a Caretaker's Array, Chakotay deck.
Yeah. I had my first round against her, and I was fairly merciless because one of the few things I hate as much as that original Thinker Kirk is the Chakotay Voyager deck. And so I was, when I sat down, I was still of the pessimist attitude of, well, here we go. It's going to be a day of cheese, and this is round one. So I just kind of let her have it.
My game against her went pretty close. Her final score was 175. She edged me out. There was just too many events and too many chuckles to kill, and I couldn't get it done. Sixth place was Mr. Kirk playing his very large Kronos deck, questioning all plausible logistical advice.
He was playing, it made me almost reminisce, he was playing 144 card Klingon machine. He had a new turn on the typical, diplomacy, guidance of the council, high council chancellor, downloading events and getting everything set up. But he also managed to use with his event download, he would download Necessary Evil, play it, and kill Alexander Roshenko after playing him so he could play him again.
Wow. So you get three quick uses out of him?
Yeah, you get three quick uses out of him, or even more if you can recycle him back in. You can download him again. He was using the trick that I really enjoyed last time I played Klingons a couple of weeks ago, which was the sabotage transporters. Since you're always downloading the High Council members who are all pretty high priced, he had three of all of them in his deck. He did something I had never thought to do, which was play multiple Guidance of the Councils. So every time he played a diplomacy personnel, he was downloading, two or three High Council members who cost four, even if there were multiple copies of ones he already had in play, so he could ditch them for sabotage transporters. It was brutal. But just a really clever use of a combination of decks. He was going out to kill people. He was, of course, using Krug to go out and steal some ships. He did steal my Kelpo, which was, of course, ironic when he then realized he had his own in his hand and couldn't play it, the Klingon version instead of the TOS.
I liked his comment midway through the tournament. With a 140-card deck, it's a different experience every time.
And that is nice. And you get the core out because you can download anything you want. But it is a different experience with the rest of your cards every time. I did like that about the large Klingon decks. Our final result was 5-0. He got 1 10-point battle off against me. He spent 5 of his points on Endangered against me to stop my last mission attempt, which I would have solved if it hadn't been for a well-placed urgency and me misplacing my equipment on the ship that he captured. One of the things that I did hear about, though, with him either blowing up ships or capturing ships was his game against Whitney. He managed to get a dilemma marker on her or some damage marker on there without actually attacking her yet. I'm assuming it must have been a dilemma. And so she was looking at his array of events, combat events or maneuver events, knowing he had Krug, knowing that he could come over at any time and pretty much easily take it over, either destroy it or capture it, and then she would have nothing left. So she used the two Exceed engine outputs in her core and dumped them onto to Voyager and blew it up herself.
So if she couldn't have it, no one can?
Exactly.
Moving into next to last place, that would be where my Starfleet deck ended up. I got a win and a lot of losses, but I seem to have a good time along the way. So, and last place, bringing up the eighth player was James, playing a Kronos attack you at every opportunity deck. He had a lot of ships, a lot of maneuvers, and it seemed to be that his day was spent chasing people around and battling and not actually with the solving of missions. I want to thank the Continuing Committee for sending out a stack of Parak foils to give out. That was pretty cool. Yes. And what was it? Was it Tragic Turn as well?
Yeah.
Usually we play for, fun here. There's not many prizes, but it was nice to be able to give something away. So thanks for everyone who came out, and congratulations to Johnny Haliva for winning the 2008 RISA Regional.
That's all the intelligence we have for you this week. On behalf of our producer, Matt Kirk, we want to offer up our thanks to our musical sponsor, Warp 11, And thank you all for listening to another episode of Section 31. I am Sir Rogue.
I'm Sir Dan.
And don't forget to expand your power in the universe.
And I will draw a lucky 13. Ah. Dan?
Dan, are you okay?
Section 31. Section 31. Section 31. Section 31.
What the hell was that?
That was me yelling to warn the dead.